Everyone, welcome to Shakya.com Presents Movie Night. I am your host. My name is Rudy Obias. Joining me for this episode, he is the managing editor for thefilmstage.com, Mr. Jordan Raup. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Thank you for having me, Rudy. Glad to be here.
So the movie that we're going to be talking about in this episode, it comes out on July 29th. This is the new film from Jon Favreau of Iron Man and Iron Man 2 fame. And also he did Elf and Maid and what was the children's film that he did?
Oh, yeah, Zathura,
yeah. And this movie comes out this Friday, and it's Cowboys and Aliens, and I will say that this movie definitely lives up to the title. They're definitely cowboys and aliens in this movie.
And they're together.
Yes. And so the end is definitely fitting as well. This movie stars Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford as a pair of two cowboys. So, Jordan, what are your thoughts on Cowboys and Aliens, and do you think that this was a worthy follow-up to Jon Favreau's last film, Iron Man 2?
Well, I did not like Iron Man 2, so but this definitely had more appeal to me. Just the idea that Indiana Jones and James Bond are in the same film together got me pretty excited. And I think for the first, I would say, 25 minutes or so, Jon Favreau has a really nice tone. He has this Western vibe going. Daniel Craig is very much channeling like Clint Eastwood, like a Man with No Name character. I really, really like the setup for this. And then the aliens come, and that is when everything kind of went downhill for me personally. They didn't, you know, I say with good sci-fi, it always kind of goes beyond what you may expect or goes beyond what you could imagine. And this, everything that had to do with aliens is something that I kind of expected they were going to go going in. There wasn't any sort of neat twist or turns or any kind of special things they gave the aliens to do. Or even their creature designs were pretty well done. But other than that, disappointing. And also I thought Daniel Craig did a good job in the lead, but Harrison Ford, there wasn't as many cool, you know, wow moments from him that I would expect, and I thought Olivia Wilde was very unfitting in her role.
I think I would definitely agree with you that this movie was very, bland, to say the least. I mean, it's a really hard thing to do here because this is a Western, and it's also a sci-fi film, and I agree with you that Jon Favreau establishes that the Western tone very well, and I definitely agree with you that Daniel Craig has this kind of Clint Eastwood Man with No Name type of vibe. I mean, especially the fact that this man literally has no name for like the first 30 minutes of this movie. He wakes up and we don't know who he is, and he doesn't know who he is either. He kind of has amnesia, and so we don't know this person's identity at all. And I kind of like the way that we were thrown into this film. But in saying that, as soon as the aliens, I mean, that opening sequence when the aliens start coming in, that was actually a pretty cool sequence. I think the only problem was that they really didn't establish the characters, and they didn't establish the story and the relationships between the characters as well as they should have in that first 20, 25 minutes of the movie to bring us along to the alien parts of this movie. That actually, when we do get into the alien story, it does definitely fall apart, and it feels like like some kid is telling you a story and he's making it up as he goes along, because there's just certain things that are not really explained or done very well to get away with.
Yeah, and as you can tell from the opening credits, there are five writers, so we'll never really know who had a hand in what. But there were just some plot devices in this that I don't know if we want to get into them, but very, very awkward and not really fitting, I don't think.
Are you talking about I would assume.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Spoiler alert for that. Let's be very vague around that plot element. I definitely agree. Like that to me, that was kind of like, okay, is this movie going this way? It really does. I mean, what I said in that first 20 minutes, it really doesn't set up that story or that the character or the relationship he has with anyone. Jon Favreau does a great job establishing tone, and this movie is actually very well shot, I felt, and it looks absolutely beautiful.
Matthew Libatique, who just came off Black Swan, and has, I think he's worked with Favreau on Iron Man 2 and a few of his other films, the cinematographer.
Yeah, and he's definitely a great cinematographer, but...
Yeah.
I agree with you that there are so many writers, and good writers too, but like it just feels like there's just too many, and we don't know, it doesn't really feel that coherent. I guess it's a testament to Jon Favreau that this was the best that would come out of it, but I really felt lukewarm about this movie.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One of the few devices I think we can talk about is these flashback sequences that are like drenched in like sepia tone, and just really laughable, I thought. Like, Daniel Craig, you know, we're trying to piece together his, along with him, we're trying to piece together his history. And I just thought they didn't, I know they're trying to build up towards something, but what they're trying to build up didn't really have any sort of impact. And I don't think they even needed as drastic of flashbacks as they had in this one.
Yeah, and again, that device was supposed to set up, I guess, the characters and the relationship the characters have with each other and the story in general, or at least the backstory or the mythology of the story, and that's not so effective. There was definitely a point in this movie where I just stopped kind of caring and just wanted and just kind of enjoyed or semi-enjoyed all the explosions.
Yeah, when I came out of it, it's not a terrible movie by any stretch. It's just one that, you know, with that concept, I just feel like it could have been almost, I love District 9 and it could have incorporated kind of like, I mean, that movie kind of wowed me when I first saw it and I didn't get any sort of factor here. And I actually felt a few things were copied from that movie, But this is the sci-fi element here is really weak, and when a movie tries to change tone from a Western to a sci-fi film for the last half, and a weak one at that, it just doesn't work, I don't think.
A hard thing to balance. And also I felt that... there were times when I thought, like, is this supposed to be, like, this much of a laugh-out-loud comedy, or is this supposed to be this serious and heavy, that Jon Favreau doesn't really establish that tone either early on, where was the comedy supposed to be this laugh-out-loud? Because there were definitely points in this movie that it felt like it was supposed to be that laugh-out-loud.
Yeah.
And the audience that, I think we saw this at the same screening, that the audience really was receptive to that, but it just didn't go along with this tone that they established early on.
Yeah. I feel like a few of the side characters were kind of comedic relief. Like I thought Paul Dano did a funny job at the beginning, and I think it's Walter Goggins, who is one of Dano Craig's like cohorts, who did a good job, and Sam Rockwell had a few funny lines. But when some of the main characters are trying to play, especially Olivia Wilde, there's some scenes that I certainly laughed out loud, but I don't think that was the intention.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Noah Ringer from the last Airbender played Aang. He was actually the kid in this movie.
Yes.
I'm watching this film. I'm like, this kid looks really weird.
Oh, dude, I got nightmares when I saw his face because the last thing I saw him in was that film. And it wasn't a pretty experience.
So. Yeah, he has like these kind of bug eyes. And I'm like, who is this kid? He looks really weird looking, like kind of like a young Bud Cort.
Yeah.
But then I just realized, whoa, that's Noah Ringer from last year's horrible, horrible film, M. Night Shyamalan's The Last Airbender. And also while I was watching this, I thought this is like the third movie that Paul Dano is in that he plays, not his character, but he's kind of like in this Western like period piece, like There Will Be Blood, Meek's Cut Off, and then this film.
Yeah, it's the Paul Dano Western trifecta.
Yeah, it's like he likes to wear cowboy hats and have a gun and kind of play this weak, feeble character because he's kind of weak in all three of those movies.
Exactly.
So would you recommend people watch this movie this weekend? This is a pretty interesting weekend. We have many choices to watch movies.
only if the idea of cowboys and aliens on screen together fulfills your, you know, your wildest dreams, then I would recommend it. You know, I was going in, you know, like I said, Indiana Jones and James Bond together in a film, and didn't really deliver. Neither of those characters really delivered for me, and I don't think Jon Favreau can really handle action well, but that's another story. So for me, kind of with those biases intact, I would say no, but obviously, you know, if you want to be strictly entertained and nothing else, this may do it.
Actually, well, I think I'm starting to agree with you, like, along with Jon Favreau doing action, that this is probably is... I mean, coming off Iron Man and Iron Man 2, the action was serviceable in those films, but not... You don't walk away from those films thinking, wow, that was great action. Yeah. I would definitely agree with that here. You do not walk away from this film thinking, this is great action.
I think he values, or at least he has a great sound design team, because I feel like he tries to buff that up, at least in the theater we saw. I mean, I think you can attest some of the, like, the shotgun blast are all at the maximum amount you can handle. So I feel like he tries to use that to cover up any sort of weakness he has in terms of framing and creating any sort of tension. So
One of the movies that comes out this weekend that I feel is a better film, and it's one of the options, like I said earlier, that that people could see instead of Cowboys and Aliens.
Smurfs.
No. That's right. Also, Attack the Block comes out this weekend in a very limited release. And if listeners, if you are living in New York or LA or any of the cities that is playing Attack the Block, please see that movie above all.
We actually should also, while we're on the topic of limited releases, before we get there, we should mention that The Guard also opens up.
Oh yes,
and a film I saw at Sundance, Life in a Day, the Ridley Scott executive produced, Kevin MacDonald executive produced as well, YouTube documentary, which I just loved at Sundance. So
two other films to definitely check out. Yeah, I saw The Guard. I saw The Guard with you, and The Guard is a very, very funny film. If you like watching Mark Strong play a bad guy, well, there's another movie you can watch him in. But another movie that's coming out wide this week, Crazy Stupid Love, and this movie stars Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Julianne Moore, and Emma Stone. And ostensibly, this film is kind of a romantic comedy, but while watching this film, I think there's actually more dramatic elements in this film than comedy. Jordan, what are your thoughts on Crazy Stupid Love? Does the title live up to the movie?
Yes, here's another gimmicky title that just tells you what it is. No. But yes, in this case, I think it does. I think all of those elements, like you said, there's plenty of laughs, a lot of drama, and even the romantic elements I thought were all handled well. It's kind of just refreshing to see a film that's even though the characters aren't terribly deep, I would say it is a character based film, and it's just nice to see that. And I think Ryan Gosling with this and Drive, which I had a chance to see, this is like his year. I mean, he just owns this film every scene he's in, and Steve Carell coming, this is his first film after departing The Office, and I think he really shows, you know, it was a good choice to leave The Office and kind of pursue, if he's pursuing projects like this, I would say.
Yeah, I surprisingly really enjoyed this movie as well, that Steve Carell is kind of doing his shtick, but it's definitely more toned down than anything else. Well, he actually feels like a real character. Ryan Gosling kind of plays this sleazy ladies' man, pickup artist type of guy who has an amazing... upper body, can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that.
An amazing upper body, and I guess lower body, because
his whole body is amazing.
Yes, there are scenes in this film where he is naked and waving certain members of
Whoa,
his.
I don't know about that. I want to go there.
Well, he's pseudo naked, but
yeah.
You can't help but not. Like that, and Thor is like, wow, look at this. I don't know why I'm going in this direction, but
no, I know. But it's funny too, because like the directors Glenn Ficarra and John Requa, who did I Love You, Philip Morris, which I really liked, they totally know exactly what they're making. And there's some specific shots, some like shots where they introduce Ryan Gosling. There's one where he's eating pizza at the mall. And the way they frame it with the music, it's like he's just like made to be just a sex symbol in the movie. And it made me laugh. I don't know about you, but
yeah, like this movie, speaking of the filmmakers, this type of movie, and I feel the same way about Attack the Block with these two types of films, they don't deserve to be this well made. You know, like, we have a movie like Cowboys and Aliens that is completely well made, but it's ultimately very empty. These films are so full of life, love, drama, and excitement, and they're very well made. And I think that was the biggest thing I took away from Crazy Stupid Love was just the attention to detail, how things were paced, how things were put together. This movie keeps you guessing scene after scene after scene, where you think you know what this movie is going to be, but then it kind of gives you this curveball, and it kind of changes in a way. Even when you see, like, even when, if you can predict certain outcomes, they're never really that same kind of outcome that you thought it would be. And it's a testament to the writing of this film and a testament to how this film was put together. There was definitely a point in this film where I thought if Magnolia was a romantic comedy, it would be Crazy Stupid Love, just the way this film was shot.
We need Paul Thomas Anderson to Crazy Stupid Love sequel.
Yeah, and Julianne Moore, and especially that Julianne Moore is in this. I was also thinking of like her character in Magnolia, and this is like 10 years later or 12 years later. Yeah, this is what her character would kind of be like, you know, if she ever settled down.
And I've quickly, because we're all saying positives, just one negative thing I had to say, I don't know if you agree, the relationship with like the kid and his babysitter, I thought there was a few moments that kind of stretched. I know this movie's kind of hyper realistic, but there's a few moments that kind of stretched for me, that you can, in involving some things at his school, if you want to hint at that.
I don't know if they were stretched, because I mean, I think ultimately that's really the big payoff in the film. And so the more time you do spend with, that little kid and his babysitter, Jessica, then it definitely goes along with that payoff at the end of the film. And
I would say, yeah, it did deliver at the end, but the road to the end, like while the other story threads I thought really worked, it was the only one that it was, I would say, the weakest. Even saying that, it's still good, but just the weakest out of the bunch. That's what I came away.
I would say, like, another criticism I would have, and it's a very minor criticism of this film, is that it does feel like it's entirely too long. What is the running time on this film? Hold on.
I think it's just under 2 hours. Yeah, it's just 2 minutes under 2 hours. So 1 hour and 58.
Yeah, this movie is an hour and 58 minutes. And I guess going in, and this is just my preconceived notion of what romantic comedies are, they should be like 90 minutes. But this one is just barely under 2 hours. And so I guess for that, your expectation of what a romantic comedy is, I mean, that's not really a flaw of the film. That's just your trained conditioning of watching movies for years. Perhaps it could have been 90 minutes, but I can't think of any sequence that you would want to cut out to make it 90 minutes. I mean, everything in here is pretty much needed, and the characters go from high to low pretty well.
Yeah. And it is funny. I was just looking because I had this up, but Cowboys and Aliens is the exact same runtime down to the very minute, and that feels an extra hour longer to me. So
it feels an extra hour longer because you want to leave the theater right now. Where this one, you know, I love the chemistry between Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. I love this kind of broken relationship and wanting to mend the pieces between Steve Carell and Julianne Moore's characters, and also these side characters, like Kevin Bacon's in this movie, and Marissa Tomei.
Yeah. And Josh Groban.
Well, watching this, I wasn't sure if it was Josh Groban, and then the credits rolled, and I was like, that was Josh Groban, who's pretty funny in this movie as well.
Yeah.
Nancy Walls, Steve Carell's real life wife, is also in this film. And, I found those, moments very funny because she's supposed to hate him. And I think that's just funny seeing that. So Jordan, would you recommend this movie out of all the movies that we've, that are coming out this weekend?
Absolutely. I mean, I love to attack the block, but this is, but yeah, out of the wide releases, this is absolutely the best of the bunch. And it's a film, I mean, here's two guys talking about it that is obviously for guys as well. So
yeah, it's definitely not like your quote-unquote chick flick, even though I guess all the advertisement and trailers would make you think it was a quote-unquote chick flick. But it's not. I mean, I think this movie would make anyone happy, and if it'd be hard to leave this theater without a huge smile on your face.
And also hard to leave it without a man crush on Ryan Gosling. That's another thing.
It's exactly. If you didn't get that man crush after watching Blue Valentine, or...
well, that one, there's some parts where he's balding. He's full on Gosling.
Or I was trying to think of what was the other movie, or...
Well, The Notebook, I suppose. But.
Yes, The Notebook, or getting a man crush after Hef Nelson. But it's just strange thinking that this is the same. Like, Ryan Gosling's such a great actor. I forgot he was Lars and the Real Girl. And he's playing the complete opposite of that in Crazy Stupid Love.
I was just going to say, I really think he's going to have a great year because he's also in George Clooney's next film, Ides of March. And then obviously Drive is one of my favorite films of the year, so... it's the year of Ryan Gosling.
All right, so I guess let's wrap up this episode of Shakya.com Presents Movie Night. Where can we find you online, Jordan Raup? Where can we find you online?
Yes, you can find me writing constantly on www.thefilmstage.com or follow my Twitter at twitter.com/thefilmstage.
Yes, and I highly recommend checking out this film blog. One of my favorite features that I look forward to every week is the Netflix streaming alternatives to the weekend. I definitely appreciate those.
Thank you, sir.
And you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shakya.com. For now, GordonandTheWhale.com and everything autorcast.com and everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. Okay, on the next episode of Movie Night, Perry and I will be discussing Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So hopefully that will be a good one, or at least an okay one. So closing out this episode of Movie Night, thank you for listening to our show. Goodbye.